On Monday's front page, same-sex marriage became legal in New York. Hundreds of gay couples celebrated in tiny town halls and big city clerks' offices. House Republicans and Senate Democrats readied emergency fallback plans in hopes of reassuring world financial markets. And the philosophical and ideological differences that divide the opposition in Syria and may determine where the revolution goes from here. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says hundreds of same-sex couples from Niagara Falls to New York City got married on Sunday. It was the first day gay and lesbian couples could tie the knot in New York. In Manhattan, 76-year-old Phyllis Siegel and 84-year-old Connie Koploff were the first ones in. They've been together for 23 years. Ms. Koploff used a walker as city clerk Michael McSweeney performed the ceremony. House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid were preparing separate backup plans to raise the nation's debt ceiling. This after leaders were unable to end the increasingly grim standoff over the federal budget. They apparently missed a self-imposed deadline on Sunday afternoon to agree on a deal before the markets opened in Asia. Later, President Obama met with Reid and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi at the White House. Reid had been working on a plan to raise the government's debt limit by $2.4 trillion through 2012. His plan calls for spending cuts of about $2.5 trillion. Some Democrats may not agree with his approach. He's not calling for increased taxes. The details of Boehner's plan are far from clear. It seemed likely to involve a two-step process. First, a short-term increase in the debt limit along with about $1 trillion in cuts, followed by future cuts recommended by a new legislative commission. Monday's Times profiles the suspect in the Norway explosion and shootings that killed at least 93 people. Anders Breivik called the attack a marketing method for his manifesto, which lays out his extreme nationalist philosophy. It also encouraged like-minded people to do their own mass killing. Breivik described how he bought armor, guns, fertilizer, and ingredients for making bombs, all while evading police suspicion and being nice to his neighbors. Monday's front page looks at the sectarian and ideological differences that divide the Syrian opposition. There are new loyalties forged in revolution and old rivalries that have to do with class and religion. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says which ones prevail may decide the direction of Syria's four-month-old revolt. Parents who sent their children to summer camp used to drive there for visiting day. Now they're chartering planes. That's jamming the runways at small rural airports. In Augusta, Maine, 51 private planes landed between Thursday and Saturday. The airport had to close one of its two runways just so all the planes that came in would have a place to park. Inside Monday's Times, Rome has its catacombs, Paris has its sewers. Now New York will have its own subterranean wonder, a 200-ton drill that's been hollowing out tunnels for a new train station under Grand Central Terminal. The drill is going to be left behind, buried 14 stories beneath Park Avenue. The MTA says sealing up the big machine is cheaper than trying to take it apart and haul it to the surface. In Afghanistan, kidnappers believed to be Taliban fighters abducted the 8-year-old son of a police officer. The kidnappers strangled the boy with a prayer shawl and dumped his body in a stream. The killing was apparently retaliation for the father's refusal to give them his police truck. The head of the Afghan Independent Human Rights Commission called it part of a pattern. The Taliban has been killing children who have connections to Afghan security forces or NATO troops in the country. The Taliban denied responsibility. Monday's Business Day profiles Kevin Feige. He's the comics geek who's turned Marvel Comics superheroes into movie stars. That has turned him into one of Hollywood's most powerful executives. He's one reason Disney paid $4 billion for Marvel. He's been involved with the X-Men movies along with Spider-Man, Iron Man, and now Captain America, the First Avenger. Monday's arts section says Captain America was a strong number one at the box office, selling an estimated $65.8 million worth of tickets. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows fell to second place in its second weekend in theaters, taking in about $48 million. Sony Pictures' Friends with Benefits was third with $18.5 million. Movie producer Mike Medavoy is going back to Chile, where he grew up. Medavoy was behind hits like Black Swan and Amadeus. His next project is a drama about last year's mining accident in Chile. All 33 miners made it out alive after 69 days underground. Medavoy's Phoenix Pictures bought the rights to the miner stories. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.